Rookie Big Board. I'm your host, Matt Higgs, the FF Educator, joined tonight by the Devi crew. I have Skip Newton and Matt Cooper here with me to give a day two reactions. Skip, up past midnight, two nights in a row. We got Cooper, who I believe is going on, 4 hours of sleep at this point in time. So this should just be a delirious, really fun episode here.
Man, I'm bringing it. I'm excited. I mean, not because my Vikings did anything on day two, but I'm still celebrating day one yesterday. So yeah, good times, guys.
I have mixed feelings about my Panthers, but I got a decent amount of sleep last night, but I worked like 13 hours today, so I am very tired. It's not because of lack of sleep; it's because of just general physical exhaustion, but. We're here, and lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about here. So what we're going to do, very similar to our day one reaction show, we're going to touch on every fantasy player that went tonight. There's some juicy landing spots. There's some confusing landing spots. There's just some downright weird landing spots. So it should be a pretty fun conversation to go off of. And we have to start with Keon Coleman. Now, the leading up to draft night, there were a lot of rumors that teams were trying to get up to these first couple picks in the second round, but Buffalo refused to move back here. They targeted Keon Coleman. They got their guy. And I know Keon Coleman has a bit of a mixed set of tape and testing, but you have to think, guys, you know, catching balls downfield from Josh Allen, this is about as good of a fantasy situation as a Keon Coleman truther could have hoped for, correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like he's not, I'm still not excited about him as a player, but like somebody's got to catch passes in that offense. And I just think they accidentally replaced Gabe Davis instead of Stephon Diggs, but
So he's coming in right now in the instant rookie big board update. He's coming in at 12 overall. Would you take him at 112, Skip?
I don't know if I'm taking him there. I mean, if the other guys I'm choosing from are Ladd McConkey or, well, if Ladd McConkey's there, I'm probably taking him over Keon Coleman, because like Matt Cooper indicated, the landing spot is great, right? We love that, but man, I don't know if I trust the player. And I've gotten burned on this before, where I got so excited about a landing spot that I overvalued a player that I wasn't high on going in, and it almost always burns me. And so I'm really trying to avoid that mistake I've made in the past.
You know, I think it's going to come down to Keon Coleman here with the touchdowns. Like, I put him in with 6 touchdowns right now. If he gets below that number, it's going to be tough for him to hold up as a wide receiver too. But, you know, I put him in kind of conservatively, guys. I put 60% catch percentage. I put 18% of the market share there in Buffalo, which, you know, given the fact the other options are Khalil Shakir, Matt Collins, and Curtis Samuel, and Dalton Kincaid, of course, it felt like I wasn't stretching it. And he still comes up pretty high, but I was a little bit higher on his tape going in, I think, compared to you guys. So you mentioned Ladd McConkey.
Did he ever even score 6 touchdowns in college?
I think he scored 6 touchdowns against LSU that first week. And then maybe he got another one the rest of the season.
He had a pretty good week there.
So,
yeah, I don't know.
So I
was going to say really yep. quick, Matt. I think you hit on the actual winner of all of this. It's not necessarily Keon Coleman. It's Dalton Kincaid. I love the fact that I think he could be wheels up this year, but I won't derail this any further, but I think he's looking good in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a legitimate chance that Kincaid leads the team in targets. Absolutely. Absolutely accurate there. Now, the next pickup, Skip, you mentioned you would take him over Keon Coleman, and that's Ladd McConkey. We're going to talk about Roman Wilson in this conversation, too. I know he was drafted a bit later than these other two guys, but for me, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, Ladd McConkey are going to be the wide receivers that you're going to make a decision on in the back end of the first into the second round. So what is it about the Chargers landing spot that makes you say that you would prefer him over Keon Coleman?
I like the fact that they don't have a guy there that is going to suck up targets. I mean, the opportunity is absolutely there, and we love the fact that he separates and he gets open. And he could easily be the number one guy. Now, we don't know what the offense is going to look like with Harbaugh, but they still have a great quarterback, and he could come in and be one of the top target guys there. I would love to know what your expectations are when you do the projections, because I know you do those and I know how hard they are. I would love to know what your projections say about McConkey.
Yeah, those projections, by the way, are available to all Rookie Big Board patrons over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, in addition to the updated rookie rankings, which have been updated after every single pick of the 2024 NFL draft. So, you know, Skip, if I pull up the Chargers tab here on the projection sheet, I think Ladd can eat, right? You know, you give him 21% of the Chargers market share, which is less, you know, even than their, if you want to compare it to their main guy, right, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's been at 25, 26% over the last couple of years. So that's going to equal about 110 targets, which I think is pretty realistic. I think you can give Ladd a 72% catch rate. He's got really sticky hands. The thing is, you know, I do think he's going to be catching the ball a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, and you have to be realistic. 5 touchdowns feels like the max for him, right? So I'm not sure with Ladd that you're going to get a high ceiling, but I think you're right that there's going to be a pretty solid floor there. You know, he's slotting in right now as a wide receiver 3 for me. If you're taking a wide receiver 3 at the turn of the second round, like, that's not a bad value at all. You know, Coop, if you had to choose between McConkey or Coleman, are you leaning more towards the Georgia wide receiver?
Oh, easily. I don't really see a significant difference between the landing spots. In fact, if anything, I think the Chargers is a better landing spot because Kincaid, to me, is clearly the top option in Buffalo, whereas Ladd has the opportunity to be the number one guy, and I would project him to be the number one guy in LA. So I actually think in the quarterback situation is just as good. So I think Ladd has even a better landing spot. There's only one pick difference in draft capital. And in terms of film grade, just to compare the three guys, in terms of my pre-draft film grade that you just mentioned, I had Ladd McConkey at a 79.73, which is fantasy starter, borderline, like high-end fantasy starter film grade. For Keon Coleman, I believe he was let me find it real quick. Keon Coleman, 68.2. So like a full 11 points lower on film grade than Ladd McConkey. That's a huge difference. I had Keon Coleman graded as a backup with starter upside. And Roman Wilson was even worse. Roman Wilson I had at a 64.05, which is just average backup. I don't think he's a very good player at all. So, you know, you mentioned those are the three people that you're deciding between. If that's the case, it's not even a decision for me. It's Ladd McConkey by a country mile.
All right. That's interesting. You know, for me, I think Roman Wilson deserves to be in this conversation. I was much higher on Roman Wilson's film. I think he wins at all three levels of the field. He's got nice hands. He's quick. He accelerates. And he's really clean through his routes. And so for me, you put him in this Pittsburgh offense. It's George Pickens and then truly nobody after that for that wide receiver 2 spot. So I think there's about 100 targets up for grabs with Roman Wilson. And he stretches the field pretty nicely. Now, of course, the question's going to be that quarterback room, that rotation. Are you willing to lean into that chaos a little bit? But For me, Roman Wilson, despite the fact that he was taken, 84th overall, so much later in the night, he's going to be a pretty heavily targeted guy at the turn of the second round. Skip, are you closer to me or closer to Cooper on that Roman Wilson take?
I think I'm closer to you, Hicks, because I got a lot of good reports out of the Senior Bowl. It sounded like he had a really great week down there. He was beating guys, left and right, between him and McConkey. I mean, McConkey was the number one wide receiver at the Senior Bowl. And I think, some people got excited about one or two others, but heard a lot of good things about Roman Wilson. And that offense, obviously doesn't feature the passing game of the wide receivers. So I'm willing to give him a pass on some statistical stuff, but I'm going to be comfortable with him in that early second round of rookie drafts.
All right. A lot of good players to talk about. So let's keep working through this wide receiver class. Next guy up to be drafted was Jalen Polk out of Washington. I got to tell you, this felt like a real shock to see Polk go this high. I know there were rumors going into the draft that some teams even had him as a round one guy. I mean, clearly the Patriots like him. It's a little bit of an odd fit, though, in this offense, just because I think Polk will do much better as a wide receiver too in an NFL offense. And if you're comparing him to Douglas and Kendrick Bourne, he might be more of the one. He might pull the top coverage. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts here on Polk? I'm not overly excited about him in New England.
Yeah, I hate to be the Debbie Downer again. He had an even lower grade for me than Roman Wilson did. Like, I know that, when I got on the mock draft with you the other night, somebody was in the comments saying, like, really? You had him as, the second or third lowest wide receiver grade in the class? And so I got a little bit of flack for that. But, his route running score for me is pretty low. I really don't see him getting open or creating separation on his Washington tape almost at all. He doesn't seem overly fast. He's really slow getting off the line. Really, the only thing I see going for him is he's got some pretty good ball skills. I mean, he can track the ball really well. He's got really solid hands. But I think they reached really bad on him there. And you're trying to get Drake May some help, and then I think you just made it worse, because now you're so committed to Polk that you don't draft other wide receivers. And if Polk doesn't pan out, then Drake May literally just has nobody to throw the ball to. And I think it even arguably could be said that Drake May is in a worse situation than Bryce Young was in last year, which is saying something, because Bryce Young was in a really bad situation. So I didn't like that pick for the Patriots at all.
Yeah, I'm not excited about Polk either. And a lot of that has to do with the offense, even though, I think we all like Drake May, but I think that's got a couple years to develop there, and they're going to have to get better playmakers around him. So yeah, I'm not excited either.
Now let's talk about Polk's Washington teammate, not Roma Dunze. We're going to talk about Jalen McMillan. So Jalen McMillan goes 92 overall. So again, much later. But one of the things we talk about all the time on the rookie big board is that draft capital is an important thing. It's not the only thing, right? And so when I'm looking at how Jalen McMillan projects, specifically over a 2 or 3 year period, I actually like his landing spot in his projection more than Jalen Polk. Now, I did like Jalen McMillan's tape more than Polk going in as well. So I think if you're looking at Jalen McMillan, probably going off the board still in the, I would say, early third round, that's a guy who I come out of tonight really excited to draft, because I don't know that folks will really be excited about his year one potential. But if you look at Chris Godwin aging out, I know Mike Evans just signed that extension, but his time is somewhat limited for the Tampa Bay Bucs. It just feels like a really nice spot. And folks, we love Trey Palmer. All right. We were a Trey Palmer podcast last year, but I think it's time to put Trey aside here, because McMillan for me is definitely an upgrade. And I see Cooper nodding his head. So are you finally going to tell us that you like a wide receiver?
I said I liked Ladd McConkey. Hey, no, I like Jalen McMillan. I mean, I don't love him, but I like him. Like, the upside is pretty limited. I think he's physically pretty limited, but he's a good route runner. He's really fun to watch run routes, and I could see him kind of developing behind Godwin and eventually maybe taking over that Godwin role, and you know, more close, short to intermediate, close to the line of scrimmage type of stuff. He's not a guy that's really winning down the field, but I think he could gobble up some targets for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a great stash, like you said, third round. You know, Godwin's 28, Evans is going to be 31, you know, before the season starts. So you just have to be patient. So he's a perfect guy to put on your taxi squad if you have one for rookies, or just if you got a deeper bench, you can just let him sit for a couple of years, see what happens.
I like it. Well, we had a little bit of a run of non-fantasy relevant guys there. D tackles, we had a corner run, but then we got it, fellas. We got the first running back off the board. It was, in fact, Jonathan Brooks, but it was not the Dallas Cowboys landing spot that everybody wanted for Jonathan Brooks. Instead, he goes to the Carolina Panthers. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts. I feel like I shouldn't lead off on this. I'm also not sure if Cooper should lead off on this. Skip, why don't you lead off here on Jonathan Brooks to Carolina? Give us the most non-biased opinion probably in the room.
You know, I've been very kind of middle of the road on Brooks. I don't love him. I don't hate him, which is pretty much the way I could start almost every sentence about the running backs in this class. But you know, a lot of the fantasy value for running backs comes from opportunity. I mean, volume is king. If yep. they're just getting the ball enough, they're going to get you some points. And he clearly is going to have the opportunity in Carolina, right? I mean, that offense is screaming for playmakers. You know, when he's healthy, if he ends up being the guy, then that's going to be solid. And I think, you know, for those that went into the draft loving Brooks, I think they should be excited about the fact that he could be the RB1, you know, again, as soon as he's ready to play. If you didn't like him, maybe you sour on him because you don't like the Carolina Panthers offense. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's such a tough RB class because there's really nobody that truly gets me excited, but this is solid. I mean, they needed a guy and they got one in the second round. So clearly he's going to get the chance.
Yeah, he's been my RB1 for months now. I think his tape to me was clearly the best in the class. And, you know, the only question I had was like, how soon are we going to see the guy that I saw on tape, right? Because even once a running back comes back from an ACL, it can take a little while for them to be 100% and kind of look like their normal self. So that's my only question, but there's already reports that he's going to be ready for training camp. Which is really encouraging. And I'm a Panthers fan. So like I hate it. I'm just going to say I hated the Leggett pick. I really did. Y'all know that. I thought we totally overdrafted the guy. And this made me feel a lot better. It's like, man, if we could have just taken Ladd McConkey and then gotten Jonathan Brooks, I would be over the moon about the Panthers draft. And you got Deontay there too. And it's like, man, the offense looks totally different. So I'm still a little disappointed that we picked the wrong receiver last night. That's just my opinion. I really trading up into the first round for a guy that's a fifth year breakout and can't run routes just blows my mind. But as far as the Jonathan Brooks pick goes, I think it was a great pick. And for him, like you said, Skip, the volume is absolutely going to be there. I mean, his biggest competition is Chuba Hubbard, and a good solid run game could go a long way towards helping Bryce Young, because the defense then has to respect it and he's not getting pass rush in his face as soon as he snaps the ball. So I like it. It's obviously not the sexiest fantasy spot for him. As a Panthers fan, taking my RB1 in the class, though, I'm pretty hype about that.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, the take on Jonathan Brooks is what the take's been, right? You have to be willing to be patient if you're going to draft him in your rookie drafts, and you have to understand that you are inheriting risk, right? So as Cooper said, you know, the reports, like even Rappaport said it tonight, you know, July 1st, he's going to be back and ready for, you know, for camp or ready, you know, for to practice. That's not the same, right? That's not the same as getting back the explosiveness that you love from his tape. That's not the same as getting back that lateral agility that you love from his tape. So I'm, you know, it's not a dislike of Jonathan Brooks, and in the way this running back class is shaking out, there's a good chance he ends up as my running back too. But I maintain my position of what I'm worried about is Jonathan Brooks is that he's going to pick up a late first round ADP, or that he's going to pick up even an early second round ADP. Right now he's on the rookie big board at 206. And I think that's a more appropriate spot to take him. I imagine, though, that in drafts, people are going to reach because he's a running back and because we do this every single year. So let's go ahead here. Let's get off of the running backs. We got to take a little bit of a break because we went back to the wide receiver position here. And I don't know about this for fantasy, guys, but I got to tell you, I love this for real life. And I love this for Anthony Richardson. You put A.D. Mitchell opposite of Michael Pittman with Josh Downs out of the slot. Man, the Colts are cooking here. They're committing to building an offense around their young quarterback, which I think is very exciting.
Yeah, I think you said it best. I think this is good for the NFL. It's good for the Colts from that perspective. Fantasy-wise, I saw this landing spot, and I'm like, nah, we'll see how many shares I end up with. I'm not excited. I'm not crazy about it because, you know, he's no chance of being the wide receiver one, in my opinion. Pittman has got that locked down. So I don't know how much volume is going to be there from a fantasy perspective, but I think he's going to help that offense get better.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that I liked a lot pre-draft. And it was interesting. Like, it kind of scared me how much I liked him just because of some of the intangibles that, maybe the reason that he fell this far in the draft, because I think from a talent standpoint, he's better than a lot of the wide receivers that got drafted in front of him. Adonai Mitchell, the confusing thing about this landing spot is that Michael Pittman is like a true X receiver and Adonai Mitchell is a true X receiver. And I don't know that either of them is a guy that you really want to run out of like the Z or the slot. I mean, maybe Pittman more so than Adonai, but that's the only confusing thing to me about this is that they're two kind of big bodied X receivers, but he's definitely got a shot to be the number two target earner in a good offense. And we've seen plenty of other guys, whether it be an Ayuk or a T Higgins or whatever. I mean, you can go down the line, it's fantasy wise, like the current NFL can support two wide receivers. And I know, you know, maybe Anthony Richardson's a little bit more of a run heavy quarterback, and so maybe that doesn't have as much volume as some of the places that I just mentioned with the other guys, but I think he can be fine. I don't hate the landing spot, and I do like the player, and it's still second round draft capital. So I actually, my thing about Adonai Mitchell was that if you're having to take him in the late first round, which was true pre-draft, that's a lot of risk for a guy that's as boom bust as he is. But now if I'm going to be able to get him in the middle of the second round because people have cooled on him, like that is a place where I'm actually excited to take him because the upside there is through the roof and I'm not having to risk as much taking him as high.
Yeah. In my initial projections, I have 88 targets, which is actually third on the Colts team because don't forget Josh Downs really ate last season. Now like in terms of, yeah, I mean, in terms of fantasy, though, like Mitchell's going to give you way more upside. He's going to have a higher yards per reception. He's going to have more receiving touchdowns. So I'm not making the suggestion here that you should, you know, prioritize Josh Downs over Adonai Mitchell. But I think you nailed it. You know, if you can use a mid to late second round pick on A.D. Mitchell, I think that's an appropriate spot. I do have a little bit of concern that folks will see the Colts get really excited and maybe reach a little bit on Mitchell, maybe take him more in that range we were talking about, you know, Ladd, and Keon Coleman and Roman Wilson, but still nonetheless a really exciting spot. I got to tell you guys, potentially, I don't know if I should have gotten this excited, but I'm pretty sure that the Ben Sinnoh pick was one of my favorites. And for a couple reasons, yeah. I don't know why, but I was just convinced he was going to get drafted as a fullback. I really was, because his tape was just so good for a fullback. So they announced him as a tight end, and they announced him to Washington, which I just think was such a savvy move for the Washington Commanders offense. You know, you have Terry McLaurin, you have Jahan Dotson, and it did feel to me like they needed another pass catcher, but drafting a wide receiver didn't make sense. And we'll talk about that later. But drafting the athletic tight end, I think, makes a ton of sense. It helps Jaden Daniels. Ben Sinnoh comes in at 13 in my seasonal tight end projections. Now, granted, folks, it's not hard to get to tight end 13, but you can still draft him in the second round of your rookie drafts. And I think get a really immediate tight end piece and contributor to your lineups. I mean, it Skip, you know, do you have to talk me down here? Am I being too aggressive for my Ben Sinnoh love?
Maybe a little. But the steam has been picking up with this guy, you know, ever since the season ended. As soon as it got into rookie talk, it felt like everyone started talking about Ben Sinnoh when we hadn't talked about him at all. And now the NFL says, yep, we like him too, and take him in the second round. You know, I think you have to be patient with tight ends. Last year was the exception to the rule. And I do agree with you on the landing spot. I always love giving young quarterbacks a good tight end to work with, because it can give them an easy out, you know, a short pass, a dump off, something safer. So there's that possibility. There are two, in my opinion, two good wide receivers in Washington. I still like them both. So the offense is becoming more intriguing, but I'm not expecting him to do much as a rookie, because tight ends typically don't, and I'm okay with that. But he's going to be a later round stash for me, you know, in tight end premium leagues.
That's fair.
Yeah, I like the pick, and I like Ben Sinnoh as a prospect. I think the athleticism is there. He's a receiving tight end, so. You know, if you always get these random second round tight ends that like nobody's ever heard of. It's like, he's a blocker, like Luke Schoonmaker last year. You know, it's like,
oh, relax,
guys. Like, I know he got second round draft capital, but like he's a blocking tight end. That's not who Ben Sinnoh is. So like, when you get second round draft capital and you are like very clearly a receiving tight end, like I'm interested for fantasy. I'm very interested for fantasy. And there's been buzz, you know, between him and JT Sanders, that's clear and obvious now. JT Sanders falls to day three. Yep. Ben Sinnoh goes second round. Like, he is tight end two in this draft class.
Yep.
He is tight end two. So I like the guy. I think late second, early third is a good time, especially in tight end premium leagues, to snag a guy like that.
In an unnamed member of the Dynasty show did say that they thought that Ben Sinnoh will be the Sam Laporta of this year. An unnamed member, I think it's a reckless thing to say, but it did pop up in the group chat today. So I feel like it needs to be said on the air. Guys, one other tight end taken on day two. And I got to tell you, you know, I did watch a lot of tape. And I'm proud of the fact that I had tape on everybody who's gotten drafted so far. And I did enjoy my Tip Reman tape. I really did. Like, this guy's 270. He gets to speed ridiculously fast for a guy of his size. You know, he can work underneath in traffic. And he fits the Arizona offense. I'm not worried about Trey McBride, though. I'm really not. I think that Tip Reman can just kind of coexist, and he can block, you know, he can block. So it felt like a bit of a luxury pick for the Cardinals, but I mean, when you have 11 picks, you can make luxury picks. Am I moving past Reman too quickly?
No, this is okay. That random second round blocking tight end that I was talking about, except it was third round, but
yeah
he's Luke Schoonmaker or whatever. I mean, I don't think there's really anything to see here from a fantasy perspective. Trey McBride is the guy. Everybody knows it. When they do two tight end sets and they're in 12 personnel, this guy's going to be in line, and Trey McBride's going to be out in the slot. And That's all it is.
There's somebody out here listening to this episode that drafted Brenton Strange last year. You know who you are. Don't do it again. All right. Couldn't have been anybody with the rookie big board, though. All right. We're moving on to round three here. We had a big run at defensive guys, and then we're going to swing into the top of the third round where the New York Jets traded up to get their wide receiver. A lot of guys on the board, a lot of juicy guys on the board. And they went for Malachi Corley. Now, there's been a big dissidence between myself and many fantasy football fans out there who have watched Malachi Corley and have gotten really excited about his upside. I have maintained throughout this entire process that although Malachi Corley is very exciting, investing significant rookie capital into wide receivers who rely on yak and manufactured targets for production is not sound process. Am I writing off Malachi Corley to the Jets too quickly for you guys?
I vote no. I'm in the same boat because I've fallen into that trap as well. When they have to have manufactured touches, that does not translate to fantasy success in the NFL. So I'm sure I won't have a whole lot of Malachi Corley.
Yeah, I'm pretty out on him too. For a guy that is mostly a yak guy, he's not as athletic either as you want him to be. I mean, speed, burst, acceleration, all that is average at best. So, I mean, he's the physical guy that's running people over. I don't know how much that translates when you're moving from Western Kentucky up to the NFL level. So there's certainly opportunity there with the Jets. But even like third round draft capital for a wide receiver, the hit rate on that is pretty low. Like third round is decent draft capital if you're a running back, but it's not great draft capital if you're a wide receiver. So I'm not overly excited about. I wasn't excited about Corley before the draft, and I'm not like flying him up my boards because, oh my gosh, he went to the Jets and he's going to be their wide receiver too, opposite Garrett Wilson, and they traded up for him. Like, there's going to be people that take that approach, and it's not going to be me.
Do you know how, you know, in the offseason, like we'll get these random reports about like a wide receiver and a quarterback building chemistry, like, oh, Tom Brady went to the park and was, you know, throwing balls to his guys. Do you think we're going to get a report in like mid-July? It's like Malachi Corley went on a darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers, you know, said he was willing to try ayahuasca if the situation, you know.
We all know how much Aaron Rodgers loves his rookies. So I'm sure they're going to be best buddies.
Yeah, the first time he goes out there and runs the wrong route or drops it, which he has a problem with, by the way. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers and Malachi Corley are going to particularly get along early in Corley's career.
All right. Trey Benson went off the board 66 to the Cardinals. Some folks had Trey Benson going into the draft as their running back one. I had him as my running back five. I've just been too concerned with the vision to get excited about his explosiveness and his lower body strength. Honestly, from an NFL perspective, I think it's a really good pick by the Cardinals because I do think James Conner still has a couple good years left in him. And if you look at Trey Benson's actual, you know, usage at the college level, in most of his games, he's had 15 or less touches on the ball. So if you're thinking about this from a Cardinals perspective and you have somebody who could be super efficient when he's on the field, but, you know, rotate on and off with James Conner, it works. But I'm not, you know, I'm not excited about it necessarily from a fantasy perspective. I think relative to how others will feel about it.
Yeah, I think I'm probably more excited than you are. I know Connor's still there. I know he turns 29 in a couple of weeks. So that means he's, you know, definitely getting to the wrong side of 30 for a running back. But I think Benson will have the opportunity, maybe not this year to be the guy, but it feels like this pick is setting themselves up for life after Connor. And, you know, you got to do that again when your running back's turning 29, he could come into the next season, not this one coming up, but the next one as the RB1 in a good offense. I mean, they're adding pieces to that offense. Kyler Murray can still get the job done. And got Harrison Jr. So I like it. I think it's a really good landing spot.
Well, I'll say this too. Even like aside from a performance standpoint, just from a pure value standpoint, Benson is a guy whose value is going to go up because, I mean, we saw even what happened with Tajay Spears this year. We've seen it so many times. I mean, Javonte Williams, on and on down the line, where the guy, you look at his rookie numbers and you're like, oh, he was RB 67 or whatever. Like, why is he going top 10 in dynasty drafts? Because he showed a few flashes as a rookie and everybody's kind of doing the logic train and okay, the 29-year-old, he's on his way out and Trey Benson's going to be the guy. And often it doesn't actually work out that way. So that's usually a sell window for that running back when they get that hyped up without proving anything first. But I think if Benson even just shows a few flashes this year, his value next offseason is going to be ridiculous because people are starved for young running backs. And I do have some of the same concerns that you do, Hicks. I think it's hard to project a guy that's always been like very heavily a committee guy in college that all of a sudden he's just going to come into the NFL and be a bell cow. It just doesn't happen very often. There are vision issues but there's things to like too. Like he was my RB4 pre-draft and, he's probably going to jump up at least to my RB3. I mean, we'll talk about Marshawn Lloyd in a minute. His landing spot is not the most ideal. And then Bucky Irving was in my top four and he hasn't been drafted yet. So I think Benson's going to rise. But I also think his ADP is going to be higher than I'm going to want to take him. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not out on him. I'm just a little bit lukewarm.
And I think that's a good transition point because I wanted to talk about Marshawn Lloyd next. Because if you look at the rookie big board, and this is the unrefined rookie big board at 12:08 a.m. Eastern time. Skip has not stayed up past midnight Central time yet, but it's past midnight. On I guess Saturday morning now, and Trey Benson and Marshawn Lloyd are even with each other on the rookie big board right now. I like Marshawn Lloyd better as a prospect, as a player. There's, I think, a longer path to significant playing time relative to Trey Benson. But I think he's a really nice complement in terms of skill set to Josh Jacobs. So, you know, I'm going to have to look at these two and really kind of make a decision. Usually when I'm torn like this, I'm going to go towards the player whose tape I trust, which is Marshawn Lloyd. And Cooper, if I'm remembering correctly, you're a Marshawn Lloyd guy. Am I with the efficiency, with the athleticism, with the elusiveness?
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's funny because early in the process, I wasn't a huge Lloyd guy. I had a much smaller sample of film and I thought I saw some vision issues there. But when I got a larger sample and I went back and I watched a lot more games, I was like, man, I actually think he's got really good vision. And the pass catching, while he wasn't asked to do it a lot at USC, he really showed some nice flashes. The burst is incredible. So, like, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you could give him 10 to 15 touches and he could actually be fantasy relevant just off of that. I think my concerns are he's a little bit older. He's got significant knee injury history. So, you know, let's say he does have to wait 2 years behind Josh Jacobs. What is he at that point? 26?
Yeah.
Like that's the hard thing for me with Marshawn Lloyd. But I do like him more than I like Benson as a prospect. So I agree with you there.
Skip. Relative, you know, you said it sounds like you were a little bit higher on Trey Benson relative to us. Relative to Trey Benson, your thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd and landing in the Packers offense?
I like him as a player, but yeah, the landing spot is going to make it tough, I think, for him to provide a whole lot of fantasy value, at least, like you said, as long as Josh Jacobs is healthy in there. Mm-hmm. Again, this is probably another pick where it's good for the Packers because you know, you don't want to have just one running back you can rely on. And going into tonight, they had only one running back that they could rely on. Now, you know, if it works out for them, they'll have two. And that's what you need. Running backs get hurt all the time. So
He's a heck of a lot.
If I have a rookie running back that I like, you know, I like the tape, I like, you know, things about his game, and the only negative I can come up with is that he's backing up a starter. Hey, then he's one play away from all of a sudden getting the lion's share, and he's going to be an immediate, you know, value to my team. And all of a sudden my bench guy becomes a potential league winner, you know, especially if that offense keeps playing well.
Yeah. Want to clarify in case anybody is wondering, he is better. He's a lot better than AJ Dillon. He is the number two on that depth chart day one.
Yeah.
He's way better than AJ Dillon. So
the best part about the Marshawn Lloyd pick is we can stop pretending like AJ Dillon is fantasy relevant. We can just move past that phase in our life. All right, let's go ahead. We're here. There was one more running back taken. I think we need to talk about Blake Corum to the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of feelings, just a lot of emotions when it came to this Blake Corum pick.
I could see that in the RBB Discord. I could see that you had some emotions, Matt.
That was the one that the chat just blew up in. I mean, that one, you know, you couldn't even like read the messages as they were coming in. You couldn't scroll fast enough.
And you had to go to all caps. I mean,
there were caps. I don't think there were expletives.
No expletives.
Good. It might have been.
But I did see in all caps, no.
Well, because I love Kyren Williams. And because I have so much Kyren Williams, and that helped me win a lot of you know, playoff games this past year. And so if you put Blake Corum in the Los Angeles Rams offense, what I think you have, at least in my projections right now, it's a 45-38 split in terms of rushing. It's 45 Kyren Williams. I do think the incumbent gets the lead in the Sean McVay offense, especially one who was so productive. I do think Blake Corum will have high efficiency, though. I think what we need to understand is Blake Corum has been very productive in what has been primarily a running back rotation up until this past year at Michigan. So he's used to rotating onto the field and being really efficient. I think Blake Corum can contribute well in the passing game, you know, nothing crazy, but 35 targets. So, you know, in my immediate updated projections, it's Kyren Williams is running back 19 for me, and Blake Corum is running back 25. So I do think both of these guys can eat, and I do think Blake Corum is going to end up as my running back one. But it took some time to get there after the initial shock of him going to the Rams.
So your rookie RB1 is Blake Corum?
Unless, this is just going to sound maniacal, unless we can get a good landing spot for Braylon Allen still, yes.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. He's like,
there's still volume out there, guys. You can't tell me that if Braylon Allen goes to Dallas in round four, you won't be excited about it. All right. The Giants still need a running back. There's still volume to be had.
We don't like
there.
It. You're confusing tonight with last night when you were talking to Anthony for the Braylon Allen love.
Yeah. I can very easily tell you like that if he goes to the Cowboys, I will still not be excited about him.
You two get the whole year to get your chemistry down and be on the same guys. And I have to come in here and, you know, be like a bear, what is it, bowl in a china shop, or I'm just going to mix things up here.
That's all right. My thought on Kyren Williams is he was a top five fantasy running back in pretty much every scoring system last season, and he turns 24, you know, right before the season starts. He is their RB1.
Yes.
Just because they drafted another running back in the third round doesn't mean that all of a sudden you should be dumping Kyren Williams. It's the same thing that the Packers did. They only had one running back. And what did we just say? That's not a good way to go into an NFL season because running backs get hurt. They got a depth piece that clearly can spell. I mean, they don't want to give Kyren Williams 80% of the carries. I mean, you want to balance it out a little bit more because that keeps them both healthy. I mean, it's a good pick for the Rams. I think Corum will get some value, but I'm no lower on Kyren Williams now than I was an hour and a half ago. So I'm totally fine with that. I think people that are going to panic sell Williams are making a huge mistake.
I do think it's worth reaching out to the Kyren Williams owner in your league to see if they're panicking.
Completely agree. And I mean, even like you said in your projections, you had Corum RB25, Kyren RB19. Like, that'd be a huge drop off for Kyren. I don't expect that. 45% touch share. Like, that's, I think it's way more than that for Kyren. So I'm more on Skip's side with this. I think Corum is a good player. He's a fine player. He's not a player that's going to come in and steal a job from a guy that's been as good as Kyren Williams has been. So to me, he's like a high-end handcuff. I don't think Blake Corum's going to have a lot of standalone value, and I'm not worried about Kyren at this point, and I would go look to buy. So,
all right. All right. I don't mind being disagreed with at all in this scenario. Two more fantasy relevant players that were drafted on day two that we have not talked about yet. One that I think is significantly more exciting, and that is Jermaine Burton going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, maybe you guys can help me process this out loud a little bit better, but I think it's a weird scheme fit for this year. It feels like they're announcing moving on from T. Higgins a year early is really what it feels like to me. But that being said, you know, you watch Jermaine Burton's game. He's a deep field specialist. I think they're going to get him on the field, but this does feel like a pick you want to make in the third round, with the expectation of a year two breakout, which I know isn't popular to say anymore. There's, you know, a lot of takes out there that if it's not year one, it's not happening, which, you know, I don't subscribe to, but that feels like the play for Burton.
Yeah. And there's a fine line between, like, I mean, I was tweeting with somebody earlier that told me, like, oh, Mingo wasn't actually that bad as a rookie. People just don't have any patience anymore. Like, no, Mingo was terrible. Okay, yeah, like, look at every underlying metric, like yards per route run and, you know, success versus man and zone, like all of it, like no matter what metric you look at, Jonathan Mingo sucks. So there is a difference between, like, you have to know the difference between, okay, this guy didn't produce year one and he's never going to produce, versus this guy didn't produce year one and you've got to be patient. I think people miss that. Because that they can use that excuse of, like, oh, people just aren't patient anymore, to, like, cling on to dead hope. Okay. So don't do that. But Jermaine Burton, again, if they don't move T. Higgins, like, there's a very clear and obvious reason why he didn't produce year one, right? It's not the same. So I did like Jermaine Burton's tape quite a bit. I think worst case scenario, he's like a more juiced up Tyler Boyd for them, you know, like a kind of a younger, like he plays a lot like Tyler Boyd, actually, I think. So, but if T. Higgins moves on and he's kind of the Z/slot and he's the number two receiver and he's in on two receiver sets, but he can move to the slot, like, I think Jermaine Burton can be a very, very fantasy relevant player if they move on from T. Higgins and he's the number two in that offense.
So, Skip, you know, we've mentioned some names on tonight's episode. We've mentioned Jalen Polk. We've mentioned Jalen McMillan. We've talked about Adee Mitchell. You know, I'll even throw Xavier Leggett into this conversation. When you consider the play for Jermaine Burton and how you can see him, you know, contributing to your fantasy roster short or long term, does he stand out above those other names I mentioned, or kind of packed in a similar, you know, bunch for you?
I would say he's packed into that same bunch, but I think the value on Burton is going to be better because I think he's going to fall in rookie drafts, and he's a third round dart throw that, especially if when you have your rookie drafts, which, you know, more than likely are happening within the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know, T. Higgins will probably still be a Bengal. And so that will keep people from overdrafting Burton.
Mm-hmm.
And because everyone thinks, you know, short term, even though it's dynasty, whereas you got to see, you know, what's happening on that team. That T. Higgins does not look to be long on the Bengals, at least right now. I mean, he's demanding a trade. And if they move on from him, there's a huge opportunity in that offense, and it's an offense that can throw the ball. I mean, obviously they got a good quarterback, and so yeah, if you like the film on them, man, that's not a bad spot, but you're going to have to be a little patient. But just again, the value of a third round pick, mm-hmm. yeah, take your shot. Why not?
I'm going to end up with a lot more Jermaine Burton than I thought I was going to. That's my takeaway from this. I really think I'm going to convince myself that Jermaine Burton is a good third round pick, because he is, because I think he is. All right. We have to talk about one more fantasy relevant player that went off the board. He was the final selection of day two, and John Lobb has to just be levitating right now. There's no way that he's even asleep at this hour, because I know he is still just thrilled about the fact that Luke McCaffrey did get the day two draft capital that he was telling me he would get. He got it, guys. It's an interesting.
Oh, but at what cost? It's like the Thanos. Like, what did it cost?
What did it cost?
Because you know who didn't get draft capital that I know John Love loves? Troy Franklin and Javon Baker. And like, I can't.
We're not going to talk about Troy Franklin. We're not going to talk.
But like who had Luke McCaffrey over Troy Franklin on their bingo card? I know I didn't. This blows my mind. But sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, special teams are important. I mean, it's weird. We get these, though. We get these weird ones always at the I swear NFL teams see comp picks and are like, hey, you know, we didn't have it before. Why not just
house money, man? House money, baby.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at the picks, like, you got Peyton Wilson, who I love, but, you know, only has one ACL. You know, he goes with a comp pick, and then you got Luke McCaffrey going with a comp pick. I mean, it's just it's not for me. It's giving Curtis Samuel replacement, right? But that's with a different coaching staff and regime, so I don't think that even makes sense. We're not doing it. Like, he is still well below on the rookie big board a dozen players that haven't been drafted yet. You know what I mean? Like,
He's a developmental player. Like,
he's raw. Yeah,
I don't think. I mean, I hate to even say this, but like, I don't think he gets drafted this high if not from the McCaffrey name. And his brother's probably my favorite player in the league. I love Christian McCaffrey, and Luke, I think, definitely has some physical tools. Like, he's a converted from another position, so he's still learning wide receiver, and he's not a very technical route runner, and he has a lot to work on. I do think he's got some physical tools there. But yeah, I mean, he goes into a room with Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin, so there's no fantasy upside in the short term. And you just got to hope that, like, long term, maybe he can develop, and maybe Terry McLaurin moves on, and maybe a lot of maybes, right? So
I have two final thoughts on Luke McCaffrey, and then I think we need to wrap up this episode. Yeah. One's a serious thought, and one is a very serious thought. So the serious thought here is that this is the Cliff Kingsbury offense, right? Is Luke McCaffrey Rondale Moore? Is that the thought here, right, in terms of schematic fit? And then my even more serious thought is, who do you think is a better backup quarterback, Luke McCaffrey or Marcus Mariota? Because that might have factored into the selection here. but listen, you know, I think for the sake of time, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to sit here and talk through, you know, who we're targeting, you know, and who we're excited to see for day three in their landing spots. But I do think it's worth pointing out here. We do have Troy Franklin on the board. We do have Braylon Allen on the board. We have Jatavion Sanders, you know, Jamari Thrash, Malik Washington, Jalen Wright. There's a Javon Baker. I'll throw him in there. I'll make sure we say, you know, Javon Baker. So there's Bucky Irving. Would you say?
Bucky Irving
is still on the board. Skip, you want to throw anybody in there?
Well, I want to add that your story was correct. They did not refer to him as Bucky Irving when he was a Gopher for that exact reason. Yes. They call him Buck Irving sometimes, but never Bucky. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking for in day three is where the running backs fall. I mean, you know, the wide receivers you mentioned, of course, and Sanders a tight end, but the running backs, there's a whole slew of them. And as you said earlier, and I agree, there is, you know, there are teams out there that are going to need, you know, a running back, maybe not as the true starter, but easily that number two guy, and the right landing spot could be gold. And I think that's going to fill a lot of our probably round three picks, you know, with some of these other guys that we've talked about, you know, maybe even around four, but the ones that people like, you know, Ray Davis is a guy that I'm excited about, but
Isaiah, you know, Davis, both of the Davises.
Yeah. Both Davises. There you go.
And so Cody, it'll be interesting. You know, if I'm late
to the Cowboys,
if I'm late in a rookie draft, I'd much rather throw a dart on if I've got to choose between a day three running back and a day three wide receiver, I'm going to choose the running back just about every time. Cause I mean, obviously you have a few Pukas and Amon-Ra St. Brown's in there, but for the most part, like the hit rate on day three wide receivers is astronomically low. Whereas running backs, like all it takes is an injury and they return some value. So I think there's just a clearer path there. The trick is like sell them in that window. So like if you have a day three running back that pops, sell them, you know, whether it be a Damian Pierce or a James Robinson or whatever, like sell them while you can. But I think they're much more likely to present you a sell window than a day three wide receiver is.
One final name to watch tomorrow. I like Ryan Flourney. I love Ryan Flourney at a Southeast Missouri. Get my FCS guy. Two FCS guys. Actually, there's actually like four or five that I'm excited to see tomorrow. So the point is here, there is a ton of good fantasy players that will be relevant, especially for the folks of us who are playing in deeper leagues that are going to be going off the board tomorrow. We'll be reacting to every pick in the Discord. Every pick will be updated in the Rookie Big Board seasonal projections. Every pick will be updated on the Rookie Big Board as they happen. And I'm going to be working all day tomorrow before and after the draft to update the Rookie Big Board rookie guide to make sure it is available to all patrons the Sunday after the NFL draft with updated rankings and updated seasonal projections. And Cooper, I know that you have your rookie guide as well. So before we call it here for the night, I'll make sure that you let folks know. You were talking about your specific tape grades earlier. So if they want to see your tape grades and compare those to the Rookie Big Board grades to have a more holistic picture of our conversation here, how can they go ahead and do that?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I know we're over time, but yeah, so me and my co-hosts on my Couch Scouts podcast, we have put out a rookie guide. It is over 70-page PDF covering over 60 prospects, and we are going to put out a post-draft update within a week after the draft, updating rankings and things. The film grades are locked in. They are what they are, but rankings can change based off of draft capital, landing spot, all that kind of stuff. So we will have a post-draft update just like Hicks will. And you can pick that up for just $10. If you go to at Couch Scouts FF is my Twitter handle. And the bio link right now is a Google form where you can go in and put in your PayPal or your Venmo, and I'll send you a request on there for $10. And as soon as the payment goes through, I'll email you the rookie guide, and I'm really proud of what we put out there. So definitely would love for you guys to check that out.
Fantastic. And no promo code for Skip, but I believe if you use the promo code SKIP, you can get 1% off your Minnesota Timberwolves playoff tickets. So go ahead and give that one a shot there.
There you go.
Day two reactions. Thanks for checking it out. I know it was almost double time from what we normally allow for these shows, but listen, it's the NFL draft. It's NFL draft weekend. We don't want to leave any stone unturned, and I'll be back tomorrow for we're going to have two episodes dropping in the feed over the next 2 days. Our first post NFL draft rookie mock draft, and also a day three reactions episode reacting to every single player drafted on day three. So lots of good stuff coming at you in the feed. Make sure you're subscribed and make sure you have left a 5-star review. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Rookie Big Board.